Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Please welcome to the show this evening, Kat Ward.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Unexplained mysteries can happen to us at any point in time, so much so that it's almost difficult to understand what is causing that mystery. My guest tonight is a return guest. She has many stories under her belt, but more importantly, she has interesting guests on her own show called Paranormal Heart. Kat Ward, who is the host and producer of Paranormal Heart, has been a paranormal experiencer and sensitive since a very young age, growing up on the East Coast of Canada. Finding answers to the unexplained has led her in becoming a paranormal investigator with the Canadian Supernatural Research Society based out of the Ottawa Valley, located in Ontario. Helping people understand their paranormal experiences and to comfort them in knowing they are not alone in these experiences has led Kat to starting her own show called Paranormal Heart Podcast. Paranormal Heart provides a safe place where people can openly talk about their paranormal encounters without being ridiculed or judged. She also has narrated a few audiobooks. In the first series of The Obsidian Guardian, as written by J.B. Coates and released on Amazon in 2023, the first book she narrated was called Integrity. Kat is now working on helping J.B. Coates with her second book of that Obsidian Guardian series called Trepidation. We had a lot to talk about this evening, so sit back and enjoy yourself as we welcome my special returning guest to the airwaves tonight, Kat Ward. Well, good evening, Kat, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you mean having you back. Kat has been with us. Yes, yes. How quickly we forget. Yes, Kat has been with us before. You and me both, girl. I've had her on before, probably a good year or so ago, and we are just right back at it once again to see what's been going on with her. She's been doing a number of things, and I think we're going to get back into it and find out what's happening in her world as we go through this interview. So, Kat, for those that are new, because we have a lot of newbies that join us all the time for the program, why don't you go ahead and kind of give us a little bit of a reintroduction of where your interest in the paranormal or anything unusual may have started, and tell us that story and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, I am Canadian. I was born and raised in a province called New Brunswick. That's on the east coast of Canada. And the little town that I lived in was called Dieppe. And we lived on a top floor of a three-story apartment building. And it was a very, very old building. Before we moved in, it was heated by a coal furnace in the basement. And it was just a very creepy, creepy building. I have no siblings. So my parents' bedroom was at one end of the apartment. I was at the other end. We lived on the third floor, which is the top floor. No elevators, just stairs. And I used to have encounters with the Hat Man. But he was the four-foot tall one. He wasn't the tall one that most people talk about. And I saw him for as long as we lived in that apartment building. When we moved, I didn't see him again. I remember one time my father, because I had a big walk-in closet in my bedroom, and he tried to tell me that, because I used to scream in the middle of the night, say, "The man in the closet, the man in the closet." My parents would come running, trying to see what's going on. And so one day my father during the daytime takes me into the walk-in closet and says, "See, kiddo, there's nothing here that at night that's not here in the daytime." And that kind of backfired on him, because I looked at him and I said, "You mean he's here in the daytime too?" And I was afraid of being in my room for the in the daytime too for the longest time. But he never paid attention to me, the hat man, thankfully so, but I was terrified. Fast forward to the many years later, as an adult, I was listening to a podcast. Now, I'd never heard of the term hat man before this podcast, and the guest was talking about the hat man, but it was the tall one. So I messaged one of the hosts and told them that about my encounter, about the shorter version. And then he sent me a video, or the link for a YouTube video, where this man had an encounter with the short one, and he wanted to reenact it and show people what it was that he saw. And it all these emotions and fears came flooding back for it seemed like forever, but it was probably just a few seconds, because it was exactly what I used to see mm-hmm. as a child. And I thought, somebody else is seeing this. There's other people who have seen the exact same entity. So that was always so fascinating. But the paranormal has always been very, very fascinating to me. That was scary. I had a few other experiences as a child too, but it's a fascinating thing, because I've said countless times that no matter your religion, what country you're from, whatever, everybody seems to be having some of the same experiences. It might be the creatures might be called something different, but they're the same things, and that to me is so fascinating. Like, why is it happening?
Mm-hmm. Did you ever find out, and it's kind of fascinating, about the short version of Hat Man versus what is mostly reported to be the taller version of the Hat Man? And, you know, when you're talking about something that's like 4 feet tall or something very, very short, whether it was 4 or 5 feet tall, did you ever ask anyone about what you may have encountered because of the height differences?
Yeah, I've been trying to do a little bit of research over the years, and I can't really pinpoint it. Some people say that it's almost like a different, they're the same species, the same entity, but just a different, how can I put that in words? Like one would be a general and one would be like a private or something. So they're just different tiers of the same entity. Others say there's something completely different. I have a good friend who's a very talented psychic medium here, and she said that he was my guardian, but at the time I didn't feel like he was my guardian, because he's to scare the crap out of me.
I
can't really pinpoint, and that apartment building's not there anymore. They tore it down many years ago, because I would love to go investigate it.
Mm-hmm. Did you say, or did I not catch it well enough? Did this entity, whatever it was, did it ever come close to you, or was it showing itself only as a shadowed type silhouette, you know, in the room somewhere? What did you see mostly there?
It never came directly to me. It's like he was walking in my room, looking almost like doing just looking around, never paid attention to me. Mm. It was blacker than black. So even though my room was dark, I could still see the outline, but it had like a texture to it. So it's not like it was just flat. He had texture to it. And, but I couldn't see his face. Some people say the hat man, they can see faces, red eyes, fangs, whatever. This, I did not see anything. It was just black, but I could see the bolero hat mm-hmm. Outline, and I could see, looked like he was wearing a cloak. And somebody asked me one time, how do you know the height, that it was 4 feet? And I remember how tall he was compared to the dresser that I had at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. So now fast forward a little bit. So at what point in your, now that you've seen this thing, at what point in your young life did you start to have what would you term your gifts are? So like some people say, I have all the clairs, I'm this, I'm that, I'm whatever. What would you say your gifts are?
I just call myself sensitive because it's not something like some people can turn it on and off at will. For me, I have a difficult time doing that because I don't really hone in on my abilities. Mm-hmm. So I just call myself sensitive.
Okay. Are you the type that can make predictions, or do your sensors inside your body just kind of go off when you know that you're in the presence of some kind of energy that you can't always explain?
Well, as a child, my dreams used to come true, and they were usually disastrous things, mm-hmm. like plane crashes. Mm-hmm. And I would get up, tell my parents about my dream, and they're like, oh, it was just a dream. And then the next day at that 5 o'clock news would play, and they were talking about what I told my parents I dreamt about last night. So after a while, they're looking at me going, okay, there's something a little different here. They never told me that I was crazy or anything like that. They tried to support me. Mm-hmm. It's something that runs in the family on my mother's side too. My mm-hmm. father was never a believer, but he never made me feel like I was crazy. He always supported me. And getting a little older, if there's negative entities or energies around me, I get this tingling down my back. And that usually is indicative of something negative. I see things in my mind, kind of like a memory. Mm-hmm. So if I remember somebody wearing a red sweater or so, you know, when you have that image in your head, that's how I see things in my mind. And a lot of times I'll be thinking of someone, and a particular color or an image really is screaming at me. So I'll message them saying, hey, I'm seeing this color. I'm seeing this image. Mm-hmm. Does it mean anything to you? And every time they're like, yeah, it does. Like, thank you. I was waiting to find out something going on in their life. And what I saw was able to help them, though. I could see the same color, the same shade with five different people, and mm-hmm. they all have five different meanings. So I never know the meaning. I just see the things.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that you mentioned color. Sometimes when I'm, because I interview so many guests and stuff, sometimes when I'm picking colors, it's really weird, but I kind of pick a color that I feel represents them. I don't know. It sounds like something kind of similar in a way, and I can understand exactly what you're talking about. I do know, and I've talked with people that when they're even psychics, they're all different. Okay. They all have their thing, whatever that is. I know one psychic who sees scenes like a beach scene or a mountain scene or something like that when she's trying to relay information to somebody about their life. That's kind of an interesting twist. There's other people who I haven't necessarily met anyone yet, and I'm sure I will, and I will have this done, that have actually been able to read tea leaves or something like that. Some people call it a gimmick. Some people say, no, this is something that they just do. It's kind of interesting on all the different aspects and avenues on what we can do for our gifts and how it affects our body. So now that you've got a couple of these experiences under your belt and your parents are a little bit kind of wondering about what's going on with you, because I too, when I was younger, around the age of 4 or 5, I also had dreams, visionary dreams that would come show up on TV the next day, and they're always traumatic. And, I always thought to myself, why can't I ever have something happy happen, or have a happy dream and then have the happy dream happen? I just never did. I don't know why that
is. Lotto numbers.
Yeah. Why can't I have the lotto numbers, every other day? Yeah. My goodness, that would be absolutely fantastic, right? Yeah, it's very, very interesting. So now that you've, at what point did you start, I want to use the word investigating or getting involved in searching for apparitions or different energies or anything like that?
So, excuse me. So my husband and I moved to the Ottawa Valley in Ontario. Mm-hmm. And my friends knew that I was really into the paranormal. And I used to watch the shows like Most Haunted, mm-hmm. Programs like that. They're very fascinating, but they also always irritated me because they would say things like, did you see that? And I'm like, no, the camera was on your face. I didn't see anything. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine messaged me one day on Facebook and said, hey, there's this lady in the area looking to put a paranormal team together. And I thought of you, and here's her name. Would you like to message her? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. So I messaged her, and she was getting a bunch of people, kind of like a meet and greet. So we met at the local coffee shop here. It's called Tim Hortons. I don't know if you have that in the States. I don't think.
Yes, so. Good old Tim Hortons. I think if we have anything, it might be closer to the Canadian border. As you get down, at least from my understanding, there's not too many. But yes, Tim Hortons. Yes.
Yeah. So we met at one of the Tim Hortons here and just discussed, you know, her name's Katie Turner. She says, well, this is what I expect for the team to do. Are you guys interested? And when I first told my husband that I was going to be meeting these people, he's like, you're going to go meet these people? I said, yes. What if they're a bunch of wing nuts? I'm like, well, then I'll just say thank you for the coffee. Good luck. Nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. And I say countless times when I talk about the meeting that we had, I jokingly say, yes, there were a bunch of wing nuts, but I really liked them and I joined the team.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. But we started out, I think we were 9 of us, and I think we're 4 now. We've had a few team members come and go, and I don't investigate that much anymore for the past couple of years. Just busy with work and life, and I just can't seem to get my schedule to be the same as the others to be able to go on investigation. So I've missed out on a lot the past couple of years, and then COVID before that. So I've took a little bit of a hiatus until I can start investigating again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, once you do, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see if you can pick up on things again like you used to. I know that once you start doing this investigation work, I know for me, when I started doing, I call it ghost instead of ghost hunting, ghost searching, that all of a sudden I started to evolve in my abilities, which was kind of interesting in and of itself. And so it'll be kind of interesting to see if you're a little rusty or if you just get right back in the sack and, as they say, can pick this stuff up from where you left off. Now, I know for myself that I bring home attachments all the time. I know that they're attached to me. Have you ever had an attachment on you, and what did you do about it?
Not really an attachment. Things try to attach themselves. So before we do an investigation, sometimes we'll sage all the team members. Some of us like to have crystals. Katie does a little prayer for protection. And at the end of the investigation, we always say, like, you can't follow us. We're not letting you. But sometimes you do bring some of the negative energy back with you. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up on that in your home when everybody in your house starts getting a little irritated with each other. They get set off easily. Mm-hmm. Then I know it's time to sage the house again. And then the house, well, I love the smell of it. But it's like, it's almost like a spring morning. It just, the whole house feels so nice afterwards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never had an actual attachment. There was one investigation that we did. We were setting up the equipment. My job was to set up the cameras. So I had the wires, and Katie comes up to me, and I just felt funny. Something wasn't right. And she comes up to me and she says, "Are you okay?" And she sounded like she was way at the other end of a hall. She just so distant. And I looked at her and I said, all I could do was shake my head no. She says, "Something was trying to go through you." And I shook my head yes. She says, "Go get your crystals and get them now, because I like to keep hematite and selenite on myself." Okay. Hematite, for people who don't know, that's for grounding. And selenite is good for negative entities and energies. And I just have a strong connection with those two crystals in particular. So I keep those on me when I investigate. I hadn't even had a chance to put those on me yet. So I just dropped the cables right there at my feet, and I ran for my case and I grabbed the cables, and I did not partake in the actual investigation. I had to sit at the cameras and watch the investigation because I had to concentrate so hard. I don't know what that was that tried to go through me, but I had to say, if you're trying to communicate with me, it's not through me. We have equipment. You will communicate with me through the equipment, not myself. You don't touch me. You don't go through me. You don't attach. And then later on, after the investigation, Katie says, "Where did you go?" Huh. And I explained to her what happened, because I said, "Yeah, your voice, you sounded so distant." And I did some prayers. I was calling on my ancestors, my mother who passed away. I still feel a strong connection to her. So I was calling on everything that I could to just keep whatever this entity was at bay. And I don't know if they had nefarious reasons to do that or simple communication, but I did not like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that once you go through that, there's many people out there that I always hear about. They want to have an experience. They want to, you know, have an engagement with a ghost or a apparition or whatever, but I don't think they really understand what they might technically be delving into. Everything from your trickster to whatever, to like in your case, and I've been there. I've been in trances. I've been in possessions. My husband has also been in a possession. I levitated in a movie theater, a few months ago when I went to this Pope's Exorcist movie, and I was at the end where they were getting very intense, that they were chanting this thing at this kid. And then all of a sudden I felt like something was coming out of me. I'm not sure if it was coming in me, but something was definitely coming out of me. And I actually started to levitate in my own chair. Now, keep in mind, in the movie theater, there was four of us on a Saturday, if you can believe that. That just seems so unreal to me now. But it was my husband and me, and then there was two others that came in, sat behind us, and I just wanted to scream. I wanted to scream so badly that something was happening, and I didn't know what was happening. I got all tingly and extremely and just all kinds of things. But anyway, when people want to have an experience and they are not educated enough and haven't done this from an experience standpoint enough, it can turn kind of a little bit ugly, you know. Tell us a little bit about some of the investigations you were on in regards to, maybe let's go with your most frightening. People always like to hear about the most frightening experience. Have you ever had anything so frightening that you had either left it or it continued to follow you all the way back to your house?
No, the most scary one that I had was the one that I just told you about. But the team, we have a little code word that if we really don't feel comfortable and we have to leave, mm-hmm. we call it a code brown.
Yeah.
We'll say that on the walkie-talkies, like code brown, I'm going outside. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had to do that yet. But not really. There was this one investigation in particular where we all had such negative vibes. So on the way there, we're drinking coffee on the way to the investigation. And you know what happens with coffee, you know, if you drink too much coffee. Well, mm-hmm. we all needed to use the washroom, mm-hmm. but we're all too afraid to go into that washroom. We did not go.
So well, was there something in there?
There was, but I can vaguely remember the investigation now. I do remember it was in private residence, and it was a very, very old building, and next to a very old church. So I don't know what the origins of the building was, but mm-hmm. it's very, very old, and it's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we're all too scared to go to the bathroom. So once the investigation was done, we went to the closest coffee shop, and that's and where we went. But it was kind of funny, but not anything too terrifying, mm-hmm. thankfully.
Well, you know, you hear these things, and I know that there seems to be a lot of activity that surrounds or takes part in people's restrooms, bathrooms, water closets, whatever you want to term it, wherever you live, because there's a water source there. And then there seems to be something along the lines with these mirrors and water sources in a bathroom or whatever equal. And let's not forget about the closets that could be in some of our bathrooms too, where things can hang out. Why do you think, or do you have any kind of a theory or idea as to why some of these apparitions want to hang out in a bathroom?
That's a good question. I've actually thought of that quite often. So I don't know if that's where, when someone goes to the washroom, they don't have any, they let their guards down. So they're just in the washroom doing their business. They let their guards down. And maybe that's just a good place for these entities to be able to catch you when your guard's down.
Mm-hmm. That, and I don't know, I know that I've somehow connected at least some of the experiences I've had with something to do with the fact that there's a water source in there, or there's an easy channel of which they can travel up the piping or whatever the case may be, or through it. I know that sometimes I have my infrared camera. Once in a while, I'll bring it into our bathroom at my house here. But we have awfully large mirrors also in that bathroom. And I know that that's false light, but I also know that orbs love to travel in and out of these mirrors. You know, let's talk a little bit about that. Do you have any ideas in regards to these mirrors and the infinity that these things go, and then they turn around and come back for some reason? Any idea about these mirrors?
So many people think that mirrors are portals, mm-hmm. Or pools of water or portals as well. So like back in the day, it was easy to do a divination with bowls of water. So I think there's a correlation between the water and then the mirrors. And I think it's just an easier conduit for entities to be able to travel through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that when it comes to them wanting to hide in mirrors, or get stuck in mirrors or whatever, even down to the smallest compact, which I interviewed a guest once who brought a compact to, Waverly Hills or something like that. And he opened up this compact, or someone did. They opened up, said, here, if you want to capture one or have one come back with you, captured in this compact here, ask it to go inside the mirror, and then first you got to know that it's going inside of it, and then close it up, right? And then he had brought it home states and states away, and he opened up the thing, and sure enough, he had an infrared or something on at the time, and sure enough, something actually did fly out of this compact. And that, you know, this glass in the compact, can be quite a false light. And then there's other mirrors that have that actual silver resin that, has a tendency to, I don't know if they can hide in that better or what, but there's a difference between, I call it the fake mirror that we all look in versus the silver lined mirror that seems to have some more of of effect. Have you ever heard anything about those theories at all?
Yeah. Mirrors are just fascinating. When you're reading the old, like say Bram Stoker's Dracula, like the vampires of old, and they say that they couldn't see their reflection. Well, I think it's because there was that silver backing the mirror. Mm-hmm. And today, I always wondered, would vampires see their reflection because we don't use the silver anymore? Mm-hmm. But another reason why there's a lot of people that think if you look in the mirror, it's going to trap a little bit of your soul, or you're looking into a different dimension. You're looking at yourself in a different dimension. So mirrors are very, very fascinating, I find.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever heard of this? What do they call it? It's when you can look into a mirror when you're in the dark and you look in the mirror, that all of a sudden your face somehow can, I don't want to say transforms, or you have something else looking back at you, or whatever the case may be. I can't remember what they call that, but there's a thing about doing that. I personally have not. I think I would rather not look in a mirror to that length of time in the dark or whatever they're using to see what looks back at me. Have you ever done that or heard of people ever doing that?
Well, I did have an experience when I was a teenager living with my family, with my parents. I was sitting in my room and I was getting ready to go out. So I was putting makeup on. I was looking through this mirror. And for just a split second, when I'm looking in the mirror, all of a sudden my image disappears. Mm-hmm. And I see this Native American. It was a male in deer skins. He was at the end of a pool of water and he's looking into the water. So I'm looking up at him as if I'm looking through the water at him. And all of a sudden we both went like this and looked at each other for a split second. I knew he was a medicine man, But I don't know if that was me from a past life, or if that was just for whatever reason, time and dimension, just kind of time and space kind of met, and we're actually seeing each other. He's in whatever time he's in, and I was in whatever time I'm in, and we just connected. And it was just for a split second, maybe 5 seconds, and it was gone. I've never, ever had that again. And I've always wondered what the heck just happened. It was so intriguing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Missing time is also interesting. Have you ever had any cases or experienced this yourself with someone who has been through a case of missing time?
No, I haven't personally, and I've heard of people having missing time, but I don't really I haven't had any experience with that.
What kind of stories do they tell you without mentioning their name? Do they ever share some interesting stories with you about what they have gone through or someone that they knew went through? Do you remember from your recall? Because Kat's also a podcast host, and she interviews a lot of different people on her show. And so I don't know if you can think of one offhand.
In respect to what? About just, the missing time?
Yeah, just someone who's told a story about missing time, whether it was about them or whether it was about someone else.
Yeah, I actually had one guest. I can mention his name. It's Dr. David Perodin. Mm-hmm. He's written a few books, just not paranormal, mm-hmm. Just about situational awareness and safety. And when he had to write his thesis when he was going to college, mm-hmm. I can't remember where it was, but it's a very, very old college, and there's mounds all over the place, all over campus. So mm-hmm. he had to go deliver his thesis, mm-hmm. and the building that it was in was under construction. But the weird thing, and now this man, he has a career of situational awareness, teaching people how to be safe, know what's in your surroundings. Mm-hmm. He always knows where the exits are and everything. He's very well aware of his surroundings. So mm-hmm. he walks in, and there's no caution tape anywhere. It's like today, whenever there's construction, they'll have caution tape so you can't go there. And he could hear and see old-time tools, and he thought, well, that's kind of mm-hmm. strange, but there was nobody in the building, no one working on the building. And he said it was almost like there was a dust in the atmosphere. It was just really like almost like a sawdust or something. Mm-hmm. He thought it was really, really strange, so he's not quite sure where to go. He wants to find the elevator, and this gentleman just pops out of nowhere, very jovial and dressed up almost like an old-time train conductor, he says. Mm-hmm. And he got him to find the elevator, brought him to where he had to go. And when they got off the elevator, he says, well, my time here, I can't remember the words that he used, my time here is done, or whatever he was supposed to be there to do was done. So he goes into the office, my Dr. David goes into the office, and he thought, well, I want to turn around and say thank you to this gentleman. Mm-hmm. The gentleman is nowhere to be found, and he can't, there's no way that he could have just disappeared like that. He didn't hear footsteps or anything, just poof, gone. Mm-hmm. When he went into the building, it was daytime, so when he presented his thesis, he's trying to find the way out. He remembers where the exit was, but he couldn't find it. Mm. Finally, when he was able to leave the building, I think there was only his vehicle and maybe one or two of them in the parking lot, but mm. it was nighttime. And he says, Kat, that much time should not have passed. Mm-hmm. He says, I had missing time in that building, mm-hmm. and he has no idea what happened. Mm-hmm. So I firmly believe, because of the renovations that they were doing to the building, yeah. that something happened and he got caught in between worlds, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he had a guardian help him find his way out into the reality that he was supposed to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting on that. I heard a case once, I can't remember, came from a guest regarding somebody that actually accidentally walked into a portal and was in this portal for about, I think it was 11 days. And, you know, from our time standpoint, 11 days for this mm-hmm. person, when the person eventually came out of the portal, I don't know how the person got home. I don't know what the situation was regarding how they got back to where they're getting back. But I do know that when the person was questioned about, where were you? You've been gone for 11 days. The person said, gone for 11 days. I was just gone for just a moment, you know, walking down this trail, okay, as an example. And then someone said to the person, what were you experiencing or what did you go through? And the person said, well, I don't know. I was just kind of delirious. I just felt like I was wandering here, there, and everywhere, but not necessarily for any big reason or anything. But and it was kind of like, so they're wandering around in this portal. And then after 11 days, they come out and they thought it was just, you know, a half hour later of whatever they were in delirium about. And the people said, no, it's like you've been gone for 11 days. We had a search out for you and everything. And portals can open and close just about, I suppose, anywhere. What causes them to open and close, I do not know. Have you ever heard of any theories about how portals open and close or why they might do that, Kat?
No, I did have a guest once that he investigates and researches vortexes or vortices. Oh. I think he's called a vortex doctor. Vortex. Mm. Oh, I can't remember his name now. I think it was when I first started my podcast almost 6 years ago now. Mm. And he just investigates all around the world about all these different vortexes. Mm-hmm. But no, I have no idea why they just suddenly open up.
Yeah, and they can be big or they can be small. I know that in our house, I firmly believe, well, in a few of my houses that I used to live in, I used to joke or believe, oh, we got a portal in here. You know, there's something comes in and something leaves. Even in this house I'm in right now, there were some mishaps when we first moved in that just didn't seem right. And someone had said, oh, you got a portal in your closet or you got a portal in your bedroom or something like that. There was one really weird time, though, that when I was laying in bed at about 3:15 a.m. in the morning, and I heard what sounded like, you know, like on Star Trek when they go to the bridge and you hear that, you know, like they're going to beam me aboard, Scotty, kind of thing. I heard, and it wasn't anything in the house. It wasn't anything outside. It was just, you know, and it was just so creepy. It sounded like spaceship doors. I'm not kidding you. Opened up and it's like, okay, what's that? Now, my husband was asleep. He seems to be asleep all the time through everything. You know, when I'm going through, I'm being thrown around the room and he's just sleeping like a baby. But yeah, it was just weird. So I just kind of opened up my eyes and I was like, oh, please God, you know, whatever's making that noise or whatever I'm going to see, I don't want to see it. You know, I don't know where it's coming from. I have no idea what it is, but it was really weird. And I've heard that actually in my living room, that same noise at another time. And so did my husband when we were eating dinner and stuff like that. I haven't heard it since. Haven't heard any of that since. Have you ever encountered any kind of strange noises or anything like that where you just absolutely could not figure out what was going to happen or anything like that? Well, the one story that I know that you could talk about here is your front door.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you talk about that front door for a moment?
Sure. So we had just moved into this new house that we're in now. It was winter, and it was in 2018, and it snowed every day. Mm-hmm. It hadn't seen this much snow in a long time. Mm-hmm. And my daughter and I are sitting in the living room watching TV, and I had just saged within a week. I can't remember exactly how many days prior, but I saged the house, you know, on a regular basis. And she thought she saw somebody, and I know it was a Thursday, and I'll tell you why in a minute. She thought she saw somebody go to the front door with a light source. And so we have the inside door and the outside door, and it sounded like somebody tried to rip the outside door off. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't use the front door. We had a dog bed there. Mm-hmm. We just have a sign on there, please use side door. Mm-hmm. And it was so loud, and even the animals, we had three cats and a dog at the time, and they all jumped and looked towards the door. And then I see somebody walking by, leaving with a light source. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that's kind of strange. So I open up the inside door. The outside door is ajar, and there's a little bit of a deadbolt on it, and that was open just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I looked down, and like I said, it's been snowing every day. That winter, there was no footprints. But yet my daughter saw somebody walk by, walk to the front door with a light source, and I saw them leave with a light source. So I thought at first, before I opened the door, somebody was delivering the flyers, because we get our flyers delivered on Thursdays. That's why I know it was a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I looked down and I said, yeah, Victoria, to my daughter, there's no footprints in the snow. And she's looking at me, and I didn't want to creep her out. And I just said, well, maybe it was the house shifting. She says, no, Mom. I said, well, maybe it's this. No, Mom. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It was probably a spirit of some sort. And now you know why I like to sage the house on a regular basis, because whatever it was, whoever it was, couldn't enter the house.
Mm-hmm. When you investigate, have you ever been in a situation that seemed relatively nasty, where you just felt like it was just time for everybody to leave?
No, thankfully. I always like to say that that's above my pay grade. I don't want to investigate the intense
nasty
cases. Yeah, I do know in the team, we all know people who do handle these extreme cases. So if ever we do come across something like that we feel is beyond us, we know who to contact. But thankfully, we haven't had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you had any guests on recently that you can, don't have to even say, don't say their name, but just kind of the general, just that really captivated you a lot? And what was the topic or the theme about, and things that you talked about regarding that?
I really like cryptids, especially Dogman.
Okay.
As a child, I've always, Scooby-Doo,
yeah.
Loup-garou. Some places in the States call it Rougarou. So to me, it's all in the same category. So werewolf, dogman, Loup-garou, all those things. I don't know if it's the exact same entity or what, but that topic always fascinates me, because some people believe that they are an ancient being like Anubis from the ancient Egyptian god, the pantheon. Some mm-hmm. people think they're government experiments. I don't know. But just the topic is so intriguing. And I've heard of some people, like soldiers being over in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden they see this blue light, and this dog man appears in armor and holding something that looks like a halberd, a long pole arm. And it's just that particular topic just fascinates me, because I really don't know a whole lot about it. And to me, it's only been a topic for not as long as like Bigfoot. It just all of a sudden seems like everybody's talking about it. So that one is my favorite one.
Mm-hmm. That one, I haven't had, knock on wood, heaven forbid anybody has an experience with coming face to face with a dog man. How would you describe it from your perspective, since she's up, cats up in Canada, I'm down in the U.S., and everyone seems to describe Dogman a little differently. What is your description of Dogman?
A bipedal dog. When they stand on their hind legs, hind haunches, they're humanoid shape, but they can stand and walk on two legs, and they're extremely large. I've heard of some being from 7 to 12 feet, maybe even taller than that, and they're extremely aggressive. When you talk about Bigfoot and hear about encounters, some of them are bad, some of them are good. But with Dogman, you never ever hear of any good encounters. They're always extremely aggressive, but yeah. They're described as a bipedal wolf, I guess you could say, that mm-hmm. can run as fast on 2 feet as they can on four.
What's being reported in your area regarding Bigfoot?
Well, we have them all throughout Canada. We've had them in Quebec, Ontario, where I live, Alberta, BC. They've been in other provinces as well, from what I understand, but those are the main provinces that seem to have the most encounters. I don't know about the description, because I know, like in the States or even throughout the world, there can be redheads
yeah.
or like red fur. Some of it can be brown,
right.
White.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but I don't know about the distinction in the colors here in Canada. I think, I don't even want to assume the colors, because I don't really know. I just recall people talking about encounters here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the team and I had a little encounter. We're not sure. We were investigating a place called Buck Hill. It's one mm-hmm. of those locations where everybody, like teenagers want to go drinking and see if they can find the ghost. Well, that's a location we have here as well. Mm-hmm. And we're investigating Buck Hill. And it's so black. The bottom of the hill, there are a few houses, but the more you go, there's nothing. It's just woods. There's no light sources, nothing. So if you don't have any lights on at all, you can't even see the hand in front of your face. It's that dark. But it depends on what the moon phase is, too. If it's a full moon, you're going to be able to see, obviously. But we were investigating, and all of a sudden we heard this loud crash. Now, it was in the fall, and you can hear anybody walking in the woods. So we just heard, before we had that encounter, we're having little rocks being thrown at us. Mm. Didn't put two and two together, really, at first. It's like, okay, this is kind of weird. I wonder what it is. And we heard this loud crash. Now, we were all so scared when we heard that. Now, unless a tree just all of a sudden fell, but it was massive, whatever it was. And we all instinctively went back to back, and we're all looking around trying to figure out what it was. And I jokingly said, oh, maybe it's Bigfoot. Let's go look. Oh. Ha, 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 ha. You know, we didn't, of course. We just kept on looking for the ghost of Buck Hill. And then after we started thinking later on, it's like, wait a minute, the signs were there. You know, they started off with little pebbles, and the stones are getting a little larger. We didn't have boulders or anything like that being thrown at us.
Yeah.
But just from every encounter that I've ever heard about, everything that we encountered, it sounds like it was a Bigfoot that was in the forest. And it's not too far from a national park called Algonquin Park. And there are sightings in Algonquin Park. So we kind of think that it might have been a Bigfoot. Who can say for sure, really?
Anyone ever being hit by one of these large stones or a stone or anything like that?
I have not, no. And from what I understand, from what people, when they talk about these encounters, it's almost like these are warnings, like, go away, like, I'm throwing things at you, like, we don't want you here.
Yeah.
During that encounter, one of the stones did hit one of our vehicles and cracked the windshield, but that's about thing. It didn't hit any of the team members.
Yeah, that's interesting too. So it hit, so it did hit the vehicle. I've heard of that though. I've heard things hitting the sides of this and that and causing a wreck, but I just have not yet, unless I need to just do more research on this, I just haven't ever heard of anyone being hit by one of these rocks or anything. And it's very scary to be in that situation. The other thing that I don't know about if you've ever seen these yet, but people call them fairy lights or the lights that glimmer about in a wooded area or whatever. Have you ever seen that at all yet regarding fairy lights going, you know, in a heavily brushed area or whatever, dancing amongst the trees? Anything? Have you ever had anything like that yet?
We get fireflies here, but I've never actually thought that they were fairies. I just thought, oh, they're just fireflies.
Is there anything that you... I hate to use the word hope, but hope to experience yet when you might get back into these investigations that would probably ease your curiosity?
I would actually like to see a Sasquatch sometime from a safe distance, maybe, because the encounters that I have heard seem to be more... there are a lot of negative encounters with them, but from what I understand is... when people have firearms and maybe the Sasquatch feel like they're threatened and that's why they attack. But I've heard so many encounters where if they do have firearms and they drop them, then their encounter is a lot more positive than if they had it in their hands. So these beings seem to understand what our weapons are and what they can do. Mm-hmm. And that's just from listening to other podcasts and other people's encounters, that's just what it seems like.
Is that in your area or is that in any area?
Just in any area, when you listen to any encounter.
Though the other thing I would probably be able to stomach better would be, maybe not. Have you ever heard of the blue orb theory that's kind of attached to a Bigfoot sighting in the area? Or again, Bigfoot's going through a portal or whatever it might be. That's what I hear of a lot. Now, I think I could handle the lights as long as they weren't stalking a person as they're driving down the road and scaring them. But I think I could handle seeing the orb-like light or something like that. better than feeling like I'm going to be attacked. What are your thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I've actually heard on a podcast once that somebody thought that when you have the blue light appear, it's and then there's a Sasquatch encounter. I've actually heard someone think that they thought it was some kind of alien being, and that's their spacesuit, I guess, and it's just in a form of a, like, it's furry. And I'm thinking, why would they choose that as a spacesuit or whatever? I just found it strange yet interesting.
They do have quite a stench, you know, really horrific, not horrific, but a really, really bad smell. Have you heard that as well?
Oh, yeah. Actually, my daughter had that experience. Her and my sister-in-law and a friend were at this rock quarry just looking for crystals. You know, you pay a certain amount of money, you can go looking for whatever crystals. There's quartz, and I can't remember what else is there. Mm-hmm. And they're on the edge of the forest. And all of a sudden, my daughter says there was this god-awful stench that she had never smelled before. Mm-hmm. And then she's looking at her friend, and they heard the noise, the big crash in the forest as well. And then I can't remember who mentioned it first, but all of a sudden they're like, yeah, time to leave.
Yeah.
And when they got to a certain point, then the stench went away. But mm-hmm. when my daughter told me that, I looked at her and said, oh my God, I think that was you just like there was a Bigfoot there, because mm-hmm. so many people say about the smell. It was, she says she's never smelled anything like that before.
But have you ever heard of any Bigfoot from, at least from people you've also interviewed or heard about, where it has actually gone and entered inside somebody's home?
No, I haven't heard of that. Like you said, they look through the window. They'll throw boulders at the structure as well. And you'll see footprints outside. But I haven't heard of any of them entering any of these cabins or houses. Yeah. It might have happened, but I just haven't heard of it.
One of the things that you do as we come into a wrap up here is I want you to tell people a little bit about your show and the types of people that you interview, and then also some of the interesting work that you've done for others along the way. So I'll put the reins right into your hands there.
Thank you. Well, the show is called Paranormal Heart Podcast. I started it. It's actually going to be 6 years ago at the end of November. I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it'll be 6 years. When I first started the show, I used to think paranormal was just ghosts. But then I realized, no, it's not. It's cryptids. It's aliens. It's anything strange. There's so many topics in the paranormal. So the guests that I have have had encounters with whatever, and they talk about it. Some of them have written about their encounters. Some of them have not. Some of them have podcasts because they've had encounters and they decided to start a podcast, like myself, because as an investigator, I found that people have a real difficult time when they've experienced something that nobody else in your family or friends will actually believe. So right. If you have podcasts like our shows, talking about these experiences, and others can realize that they're not the only ones that are having these experiences, and mm-hmm. it's happening around the world. It's not just one location. Mm-hmm. So those are the guests that I have, and it's every I release an episode on the second and last Sunday of every month. It's pre-recorded. Right now it's just audio, but I'm thinking of doing video later on. I've had some listeners say they'd like to be able to actually see the video, so mm-hmm. I'm thinking of doing that maybe in the new year. And I'm looking for people, if they don't want to be on the show, they can send me their stories, and I'll be so happy to narrate their encounters. It could be anything creepy. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of show? I don't want to mention the show anyways. So paranormal, creepy, you know, if you've walked through the hospital at night or mm-hmm. whatever you find is creepy, mm-hmm. Just send me your story and I'll be happy to narrate it. And send it to my email is paranormalheart13@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So if I get enough of them on the days that I do not release an episode with a guest, I'd like to have an episode that I'm narrating all these shows. But right now, just incorporating them into, like, I'll do the introduction, I'll narrate the encounter, and then I go on to the guest.
Mm-hmm. And then you've also done some voice work for an individual. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, a friend of mine, she's a paranormal investigator and author named J.B. Coates. She's writing a series of books called the Obsidian Guardian novels. And I narrated her first book called Integrity. And I finished reading the second book not too long ago that I'm going to be narrating. I can't remember what it's called. Trepidation. Mm-hmm. Book two is called Trepidation. So the first book that I did was a learning curve. It took me like 8 months to do, but I really didn't know what I was doing. But because I do my own editing and everything, processing. So that was a learning curve. Yeah. So the next book that I do will go a lot faster. And I was approached by someone else who has paranormal books she just kind of asked if I was interested in narrating her books. We haven't actually spoken, like discussed anything yet. So there's a possibility of having that project as well. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting. And I can't remember, where can you find those narrated books, or at least that one that she has out? What is that out on right now?
That one is out on Audible.
Audible. That's it. Yeah. There's just so many sources these days. So little.
I know.
Time, you know. Yeah. Well, and I think that's exciting. Not only are you part of the, you know, living kind of part of the paranormal, but you're actually doing an extra aspect that includes the paranormal. And so stuff like that's always very intriguing. And I can't remember, is it just an Audible book, or can they actually buy the physical book as well?
They can buy the physical book as well. I think pretty much wherever you can get books online.
Yeah.
I know Amazon has it for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure where else other than that. But yeah, just mm-hmm. look for J.B. Coates for the author, and it'll take you to some links to where you can buy the book. And J.B. Coates audiobook, and it'll bring you to Audible.
Let me just add one more thing here. We were talking at the beginning of the show. Did you say you had an experience that you just encountered, or was that part of the show? I would like you to tell that quickly before we have the show today.
I think it's paranormal. So, we go grocery shopping into the next town, and we're coming back, my daughter and I, from getting groceries. And in between my town and the other town, there's a little wooded area, and beyond the wooded area, there's fields, and we see wild turkeys and all that. And we saw this gentleman riding his bike, and I just commented, "Oh, look, there's a guy riding his bike." So I passed him, and my daughter was driving, and all of a sudden, the warning chimes on the dashboard went saying low battery. So she pulls over and it stalled. And then the guy drives his bike through, and it's just like, okay, that's kind of weird. So I called my husband. I'm like, yeah, could you come check? Cause he's a mechanic too. So he met us. He's only like 5-10 minutes away. So he came over with a multimeter, checked the batteries, checked a whole bunch of stuff, started it up right away for him. It's like, okay, that's kind of weird. A couple days later, we're coming back from town, see the same guy on the bike. Same thing happens, which is kind of weird. The first time it happens, okay, it's probably the car. Second time it happens, okay, that's kind of weird. It happened four times.
The
same spot, four times, yeah. So it happened four times, plus after the fourth time, my daughter took the car, and she went someplace in town here, and then she noticed that there was a flat tire. So she calls my husband, come see me. I've got a flat tire. It's like, okay. So he noticed that the tire was just chewed up right around where the hubcap is.
Yeah.
So all this time we've been driving, he says, I don't know how you guys didn't have a blowout driving this car.
Mm.
It was so weird. So one of the times that I was driving the car, and when it stalled, when it did, you know, told us that we had a low battery and everything, after I pulled over, waited a minute, started it up, and was able to go again. And I jokingly said to my daughter, I wonder if there's something in the field there or someone trying to get our attention. And all of a sudden it chimes again, and I pull over and it stalled. And we're just like, okay. So four times at the same location, a friend of mine is convinced it's aliens, extraterrestrials. So she says, next time you drive, get some photos. I am so disappointed with myself, because I've done investigations. I'm driving. I get my daughter to take some photos. I forgot to get her to put the window down and just take photos of the sky and the field with the window down.
Yeah.
So right there, it's compromised. Like any glare that you might think it could be something, well, it's probably nothing. So you can't really use those photos. So I keep saying I'm going to bring my multimeter and an EMF detector and a voice recorder next time I go by, but I keep forgetting to do that. But four times in the same spot, it's got to be something.
That's a little bizarre, and that certainly is. And I'm beginning to wonder about the man on the bike too, by the way.
Yeah, we saw him two times out of four times.
Yeah.
But after we got the car repaired, it hasn't happened. So we got new tires, and we also had to get a few things repaired on the vehicle as well. And it hasn't happened since.
That's interesting. Was he wearing the same clothes?
He was.
Oh, he was wearing the same clothes. Of course, some people do. I mean, it's just like, okay, so you have to kind of take the check mark off of that one, because some people just wear the same clothes day in and day out. On that note, thank you so much, Kat. Real great discussion today, and we'll have
you
back
so
again.
Much.
And we'll see you again. So thank you
so much. It's always a pleasure.